singing it to him now.
Oh Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living way. Thank you, amen and amen. Be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Like Terrence said, we're glad to have our little visitor back there with us. But she comes next time, she's not a visitor. She's just one of us. Little Deanna. And we appreciate them coming and bringing her out. Everybody gets to see the baby now. Amen. So good to do that. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Exodus 12. We'll read there what we've been reading, Exodus 12, and then we'll get on to, we may get far enough, but we'll just hold it to there because I don't want to go on any further, but we'll go from there, and then we'll just see how far we go. If we do, we'll pick up scriptures later. But just remember now, the Lord willing, Brother Quinn will be with us this coming weekend preaching for us. Also remember that the youth camp that Brother Burley, that Wade and June and a lot of them will be gone to the youth camp, and all on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So just remember them in your prayers and all. And we will not have a Bible study this Saturday, and we can't have one next Saturday, so we'll just probably wait until September and have, you know, not have one this whole month and all. So that'll take care of it. Amen. I was going to say a little bit more about some other things with Brother Junior, but it's very lengthy, so we'll just go ahead and pray and read our scripture and everything. And then I have a sheet here I'd like for all of you to read what Brother Wes Ardeal has sent us about Brother Jeffries and everything, so we'll do that. But let's just pray and get into the scripture. Father, we thank you and we love you. We know that you are God and that you change not. Forgive our sins, Father, and cover us that we may walk in the light of your love. And Lord, we know that none of us are worthy of anything, but we know that we believe in the atonement of Calvary that has been made in our place. We truly believe that there is a token for us today, and that token is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe you and we thank you. And we ask you to just guide each and every one of us. Bless each one. Thank you for touching Brother Jeffries, and we pray you continue to make him whole. And Lord, just come on the scene with each and every one. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered from destruction, and we believe you. And Father, we just commit it to you. We love you, and we just pray that you'll bless each and every one with your presence tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 12, we'll just read verse 12 and 13. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You may be seated. That Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. If you will give that out first, and then we can kind of, everybody can read the kind of a little thing that Brother Wes sent unto us. And I know most of you have heard about Brother Jeffries and the things, and he's doing wonderful for the you know, for the point, because the Lord has touched him. And I talked to Brother West there this morning, and he was explaining a lot about what, and it was on, it's on this, so I wanted you to read it. And you know, it's been, I think, 35 days, they said, that he has not been eating anything. He's only been on the IV, you know, and just very, very little of any kind of fluids, because he wouldn't take it. He just couldn't do it. And the doctors had told him that probably he got to where the taste wouldn't be working, and he wouldn't, you know, wouldn't care. And all they even told, Brother West was telling me this morning, they even told him that he was blind. But the both times we were there, he waved at Peggy, she'd wave at him, and he waved at her sitting across the room. So I don't believe, you know, I believe they were looking at things a little bit, what they were thinking it was going to be, or maybe hoping it was going to be, because it's not in the, you know, it's not in God's plan and way for it to work their way. But anyhow, they had a service for him there Saturday. Brother Dutch Cotton and him had a service, and on Sunday morning, I believe it was, 3 a.m. in the morning, he one of the kids, I believe it was Hope, asked him, did he, or wanted to know if he wanted something to drink, and he started drinking water. And by the don't up in the morning, then he got to doing so much better, and I'll just try to shorten it. You can read the whole thing. But he wound up that they gave him a milkshake, and you know, the milkshake, he didn't want it, but they kind of tricked him with, you know, with the grandkids. You know how us dodie old granddaddies are, and they got the grandkids to, one of them to, you know, give a little support and trying to get him to drink, and he was saying, mmm, and about time he said, mmm, the little girl poked the straw in his mouth, and he began to drink the thing, and they passed it from one grandchild to another one, kind of when he would, you know, would stop and everything, and then they asked him, did he want something to eat, and he said he wanted some chicken, and so they sent out and got him some chicken, and they said he ate about a half of a breast of a chicken, and he got green beans and everything, and he's talking now. I mean, he's talking to them, you know, and everything, and they had a little problem to begin with, but, I mean, my Lord, going all that time, but he ate his green beans and ate a little bit of mashed potatoes, but said the mashed potatoes wasn't too good anyway, and but they done that, and he, the last point they had, they gave him breakfast, and he wanted grits and eggs and bacon and things, so, you know, they've given him that, and they've sent him, supposed to be sending him home, as far as I understand today, but they were going to send him home. The reason they put him back into the hospice was the fact that his catheter had messed up, and he was bleeding, so they had to, you know, figure out what that was, and they thought it was real bad and thought his kidneys had shut down, and but it had not done it, but it's turned out, and you can read the thing there, and Brother West said, I understood that, Brother Dutch said from the beginning he believed he'd be all right, you know, and I believe it, you know, but Brother West said, I heard you said something about it, and so I made a little, explained it a little bit to him, because, you know, most of you know that when we went to Oklahoma that I was cleaning out the van, and it was kind of just so odd, until it was something that when I found a little tag like you find in the back of a dress, like sizes, and it said Junior, you know. Well, and it had some numbers, and down under there was a pretty good sizable 3, so I guess, you know, that meant the size or whatever, I don't know. But anyhow, I just said, well, Lord, are you trying to tell me that, you know, that Brother Junior's, it's been 3 days, something's going to happen? So I didn't tell anybody. I told you I'd tell you in 3 days, you know. So we went on and went to Oklahoma, and on the way there, everything was getting worse and worse. And so, you know, we were thinking, and I was even thinking myself humanly that within 3 days he would be alive or make a great drastic turn, and which he did. He made the turn and everything, and started doing a whole lot better. So, you know, I kind of wanted to just hold off, because it didn't matter. I mean, everybody wants to have, you know, claim, well, I done this, or I prayed this, or no, God heard somebody. That's the way I like to say it. I'm trying to encourage you to pray. Not for me, how to pray for you. You pray for me. See, that's what I'm trying my best to get into you. And so I just kind of let it go, and I just told it a little bit, and, you know, and, but anyhow, Brother Gary Krantz, he went down, him and Sister Julie, Sunday afternoon, and when they got down there, he was doing a whole lot better, you know, and they told about 3 dreams. It was, they had three people had dreams, I think. Amanda was one, and seemed like Hope was one, and was it Brother Yancey, or somebody said his pastor? That's what Brother West said this morning. Anyhow, there was 3 dreams, and in the 3 dreams, each one of them was that he was doing different. Even one of them, like Amanda, said that he was really grumpy with her, and she seen him look like his face sagged and you know, everything and all. And when she got over there on Sunday, they had him sitting up. Well, naturally, being so skinny from not eating, she said that's what exactly he looked like in the dream. But the other one, one of them was that he would be out on the porch sitting with one of the grandkids or something like that. And Julie told him, said, well, you know, she said, well, that's three dreams, you know, they had. And Julie said, well, you know, let me tell you what Brother Dale told us quite a few days ago, you know, that he would be better or worse in 3 days, you know, because the Lord had showed him that. But, you know, we thank God. Like I said, who's worried about who God heard? I'm just glad God heard. I'm glad to be among people that God can hear, because we may need him sometimes desperately. And to tell you another thing that happened, a sister up at Brother Richard's, the doctors had diagnosed her with cancer, and she goes in, you know, and they had done all of the things and told her she had cancer. Well, they wanted to go to a cancer specialist. And I don't know the complete story, but I just tell as much as I can. Anyhow, she goes to a cancer specialist to, you know, kind of see what it is. And it's supposed to have been up in here some way, and went around. And the cancer specialist, he made, I don't know where he run tests or what he done. He looked over the report, and he said, you don't have cancer. He said, all you had was pneumonia. He said, the pneumonia set up in there, and said, you don't have no cancer or nothing. He said, they misread the thing. Well, you wonder if they misread or they read it right and God took care of it, you know. Because I believe it, church. I believe God is trying to get us to see that he's here with us, you know, and to help us. And I pray and everything, just don't, in a time maybe when God is not working so much among us, as I said the other day, don't doubt the word. Don't belittle the word. Don't do that. Just don't say, if God is with us, why not? We're not having great miracles. We're having those things. It's happening. God is with us. See? And he's doing those things. He, you know, and sometimes maybe he might. You'd say, well, Brother Dale, why didn't he speak to you about somebody here? Now, this is something else that went with it, so I won't explain it. Because if I did, it hurts your feelings. But I'm just saying it this way. And the Lord showed me that. He showed me something else. See, he had to go outside of this church to prove the word that I was speaking. I ain't going to say no more. You can say, well, Brother Dale, are you trying to say we're unbelievers? I ain't going to say no more. It happened. I'll just tell you that away. All right? Now, because there's no need of it, because I know he's real. And if he never touches another person, never heals another person, for 100 years, he's still the healer. If he never saves another person, he's still the Savior. It doesn't matter what he ever does or don't do, he's still God. And that's the way I love him, and it don't make no difference. I've tried to explain to you the way that we are in the evening time, what it would be. I've tried to express that to you, that maybe sometimes God will back his presence off from us just a little. Because he wants to see what we'll do. See? I mean, that's all he gave me, was that, and just left it. Well, what was I to do except just say, I believe it, and speak it, and go on. So that's what he's wanting to try, each and every one of us. You know. So, you know, I hope you take what I've said correctly now there at the last, especially, that he did go outside of here, and I could express something else about other things. But just believe. He said, Brother Dale, I do. Well, all right, believe a little more. You know what? See, his word is what we're talking about. We're not after signs and wonders, but signs and wonders always follow the believer. But see, what people don't realize is a gift. Let me say this to you, please. It doesn't matter if it's a minister, if it's a gift you have, or whatever. You don't work a gift. Gifts and callings are without repentance. You don't work a gift. A gift works you. Please understand that. I had a brother tell me one time, went to church here, he said, I just speak in tongues anytime I want to. I said, that's contrary to the scripture. What do you mean? I said, because the Bible says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I said, sure, you can speak in a language. You can speak in something you know. Tie to my C, C to my tie. You can fake anything. Do what you want to. But I said, a gift is a gift, see. But see, follow the gift and watch it. First off, does it stay with the Word? If it stays with the Word, then you watch things, right? Okay.
Amen.
Get away from that. But just remember these things and be much in prayer that the Lord would bless Brother Jeffries and bring him on out of it. I'm looking for a total recovery. And it's like I told Brother West this morning. I said, really, I'm serious. And I said, I wish that they'd have another scan run on him. Because I said, for his, and true, I forgot to tell you, you know, he's been paralyzed on his right side. Okay? Because the gross was on the left. Well, now he's moving his toes on the right foot. And I said, Brother, I said, as that cancers and those things go down,
amen,
his movement will come back.
Amen.
Because it's blocking it off just like a stroke or anything. It's doing that. So just keep praying. God is with us. That's my point.
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to see. God is with us if we just believe it and accept it and say, thank you, Lord, and go right on down the road. You know, and do it. Okay. Now, we've been talking about the token. And I tried to express to you Sunday in talking about a token. And the prophet said it's a sign of a price paid, and that's what the definition of the word is in the Old Testament, 2:26. It says it's a sign or a signal or a distinguishing mark, or like a banner, or a omen, or a standard, or proof. It's a sign, right? And we went through our Sunday sign to show you, see, of the Old Testament. Now, I told you I was holding it to the Old Testament of the signs, you know, and what took place. And we went through, like, the rainbow was a token, see? But it was a token of the covenant. Now, remember that. A token of the covenant. See? Now, you've got to get this together to be able to understand the later things that I want to bring on the message and everything. But, see, the token, it's the token of the covenant. The covenant is made, and the token is given as a sign to you personally about that. And see, that rainbow was given to the world. He wouldn't destroy the water, the world with water anymore. All right. Then we went from there, and I'm just background a little. We went to Rahab and the scarlet thread that was hanging out of the window, and how that was there as a token, a sign. But the covenant was already made because the men said, "You hang that out," and said, "We'll abide by it." You know. But said, we're only responsible for what's in this house. See, they made a covenant, and then they gave her a token of that covenant.
Right.
As a sign to show it, you know. All right, now. Then we came over and basically got over to circumcision. And talking about the circumcision is a sign of the covenant that God gave with Abraham.
Right.
See? Then the circumcision was a sign to him of that covenant. Right? Alright? Now, see, my point I'm trying to get, see, the covenant is made. God made a covenant in the days of Noah. Then he gave the token as a sign. Alright? Then we kept on coming down, and we got down to where that we were talking about there, the scripture we read in Exodus, where it was talking about the blood. The blood, put it on the post, put it up on the sides and over the top and down the other side. Put it all over the door as a token that God had promised them that the death angel would pass over them. All right? See, then it was a sign, but listen, the point I kept trying to get you to see is that the sign, the promise is already made. As far as God was concerned, it's already over. But he's given us a sign. I mean, as far as God was concerned, he didn't have to put the rainbow in the sky.
Right.
He said it. I won't do it anymore. Right? And see, then Abraham, a sign to him of a covenant, were in his flesh, and I'll make you a covenant people.
Right.
All right, bringing it down to that. Then coming down to where that we were. Now, if you were following me, I was trying to get this point. That then in the Old Testament, Moses was not the first one to offer a lamb.
Right.
God made the first sacrifice.
Right.
Abel made the next one. Noah made a sacrifice. Abraham had the ram.
Right.
I was trying to get you to see that. That Moses, what he was doing was telling them what to do with the blood.
Right.
Apply the blood. See? He gave him instructions. He got the message. He got the covenant. He heard from God. Tell them to take that lamb that they've been offering. The one they had made the Passover. Read Exodus right before what we just read. We read it over twice there Sunday to you. Read right before then, back up in verse 10 and 11. That it's the Lord's Passover. They had already offered the lamb sacrifice. And God had already now made it to them as a Passover.
Right.
You know. Alright? That they were to eat the lamb.
Yeah.
Sacrifice the lamb.
Yep.
Eat the lamb.
Yep.
Now Moses said, take the blood and apply the blood.
Amen.
Alright. So now he's dealing with applying the blood. So alright now. Think about what I'm trying to say. Not trying to background so much, but trying to just get you to see it. And you follow the reading and you read the quotes that I give you. But if you would, please bring these, especially the last ones in the back. Bring them next Wednesday, because you know we'll probably have to rerun them or do something. But Brother Branham, on the token, I give it to you on the 63901, which is one in Jeffersonville. He's talking about the token. The dictionary said a token is a sign. It's a sign of a fair price paid. Now get the point. Paid. You go down, you get a token from the bus depot, or a ticket, airline ticket. All that's a sign or a token. But you got to what? Pay first.
Right?
Then the token shows you've paid.
Right.
All right? So now it's a sign of a fair price paid. And they gave you another one, number two, off of there, which is off of the same message, but it's paragraph 57, or page 57, excuse me. And he says, it's a debt has been paid.
Amen.
When that lamb had died, they kept it up 14 days. Now I know that there's flip-flops of the message people, and they can't understand that, because some of them says it can't be 14. It's got to be this. And I ain't worried about it. The Bible said it. The prophet said it. Kept up 14 days. You figure the rest of it out. That's just the way I say it, and I ain't going to worry about it, because he said it and the Bible said it. They kept up 14 days. Now I know the other scriptures are 4 days and this day. I know the scriptures, but I'm just saying, just get the point, because you get tied up in so many of the mechanical side of it, and you don't even see the truth of it. Because it was kept up 14 days for 7 church ages in the Old Testament, 7 in the New.
Right, amen. Right.
Now that's what the prophet said about it.
Right.
All right. See? So just leave it alone, then you don't have to get into all of that mechanical point of trying to figure it out.
See?
All right, but now watch. See? It was a sign of a price paid. The life went out of the animal before they could apply the token.
Right?
Before the blood could be put over the doorpost, the life had went out of the animal. It already had been sacrificed. They even cooked it. They were even eating it.
Right.
All right. So then the token that they received back there showed the life was in the blood. All right. Now you remember what we were trying to bring out there Sunday about the life being in the blood? Animals have life in the blood, but they don't have a soul. All right. But they have life in the blood. I gave you the quotes from the prophet. The life is in the blood. But it doesn't mean, you know, people sing that saying, His royal blood now flows through my veins. No, I'm sorry. It's stinking Dale blood running through mine. Huh? But see, the life is in the blood. That is just something that's a spiritual point of talking about the life. The life that's in your blood is like an animal life that's in its blood. The soul is not in the blood. The spirit is not in the blood. It's the life of that blood cell that runs through that body that causes you to produce what you are. You know, cause a dog to be a dog, a cat to be a cat, or a human to be a human. Because the seed of man or dogs or whatever is a highly congealed blood that brings forth a moving life. And as you eat the food you eat today, tomorrow we'll be making, or sometime later on we'll be making, what? Blood cells. I don't understand that, but that's what the science says about it. The prophet says it. But see, the life is in the blood. All right, but we're going to get down to where the prophet said it. He said there's a blood, there's a life, and then a life in the blood. And then I gave you that scripture back there, you know, about Genesis 9, I believe it is, somewhere in there, where it talks about how that you were okay to eat all the animals. But then it turned around and said, don't eat the animals that's got life in the blood. Well, then every animal's got life in the blood, so you can't eat no animal if you take it that away. Well, there was only one thought you could have there of what it's talking about. Humans don't eat humans. Why? Because there's a life in the blood. Yeah. And not only that, there's a soul in that life. That's the person you are. That's why the animal life could only sustain, and I gave you the quotes, 103, Church Age book, I believe it is, or 102, something like that, where the prophet was talking about how the animal life caused a fall problem, you know, the beast. That now animal life would have to be that would make the atonement. See? And would just push forward everything to Calvary. Alright? But see, the life is in the blood. That's why I can give you a blood transfusion, but I don't give you my own life. You know. I mean, I don't die and you live just because I give you a blood transfusion. See? Now, if they took all my life out of wood, that's sensible. But see, I can't give you my soul either. Jehovah's Witness won't take a blood transfusion because of the life being in the blood. But you see, the soul that's in there is what you're concerned about, because there is where the new birth can take place. Not in the body, not in the spirit, not in the blood. That's why Jesus was the very created blood of God, that human body. All right. But his soul was the soul of God, and his spirit was the spirit of God. Made him a human being walking upon earth in a body. To where he could die for me and you. But now we're not trying to get over there. I'm trying to get you to look at a point. Alright? Trying to show you something in the Bible to help you to understand why this or that or the other. So now what was it? They said we come through the Old Testament. The rainbow, the scarlet, the circumcision, the applying of the blood. Alright? Now, I told you the word token is used 10 times in the Old Testament and has the same basic meaning. I mean, same meaning from it, really, word meaning. 226 in your Scofield. I mean, your Strong's. Alright? But now let's pick up the New Testament about the word token. Because I'm trying to get you to see that it's a sign. But it'll always be a sign of something that has already taken place. Now get that thought and hold it. A sign of something that has already taken place. As I said, you couldn't apply the blood till the animal was dead. See, now let's go in. So let's go over and see what this token in the New Testament turned out to be. Look in Mark 14. The word token is used 10 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New. Look at Mark 14. Yep. Mark 14. Go about 43. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. We call it a Judas kiss. But it was a token. Why? Because it was a sign. Judas had went down, sold out the Lord Jesus, agreed to identify him publicly to where they make sure not get nobody else to get mixed up. All right. And he gave them a sign. He said, the one I kiss. Right. So we called it a token. Now that word is 4953. It says it's a token or a common sign or concerted. A concerted means an agreement ahead of time or arrangements. Concerted, that word means it was arranged ahead of time. A token or a common sign or a concerted signal as a sign given. See, he had given them the sign. I'll kiss him, you capture him. Right. See, that was his token. That was his sign to them. Right. Now watch it as it goes just a little bit stronger like the Old Testament now to where that we can see it. All right. Look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1, the save reading, we just start with verse 28. And in nothing, let's go back. Verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Now get that point. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Now listen. Now you're not terrified by your adversary. Listen, read it. Which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. A sign. All right? Now, don't be terrified. Okay? Now watch, we're going to try to just keep building and building. Now that word comes from 1732, which means to declare, proof, evidence, token, demonstration, manifestation made by act. Now, to them it's a token of perdition. But to you it's a token of salvation. What is? A sign. A sign. Now, listen. A sign is evidence that you are lost if you fall, listen. He's talking about an evidence that if you fall, it proves you're lost. They prove they're lost and they come out as a token to them, as a sign to them that they're of perdition. Unsavable, unredeemable. See, the gospel's what he's talking about. Right? All right. But to you that stands fast in what you believe, no matter what anybody else says, it's a sign or token of manifestation. Right? A token or saying you're right. Right. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? See, first sign is what? First token? Give you a kiss. That's just a sign, a signal, a point. Now, it's getting a little stronger because it's dealing with something that can be seen. Because the gospel will blind one and free the other. Right? The same gospel. The same water that destroyed the world, the same water that saved Noah. Right? But see, it's a token, which is to declare, like an evidence, or that it's coming down to a manifestation made by an act. In other words, the way you live outwardly. Now we're getting to the applying of the token. You remember that from Sunday? You've had the token, apply the token. Now Paul is here in Philippians, he's telling them that you've got an evident token. You've got a token. You are a token, would be a better way of saying it. Because of the gospel in your life tonight, you're proving that you're not falling for all of the garbage that's around this message, just to put it like that. And you're manifesting that. You're showing it outwardly. Now it's already coming over the doorpost. I don't want to go too far, but look right here behind me and what you're talking about. I thought that stature of a perfect man was supposed to be shown outwardly. I didn't know it was just to stay within you and not do anything outwardly. I thought the people was to be able to see you and find God. Come on. Right, where's the next one? 2 Thessalonians. Watch these because I'm trying to get them to you to where you can see something that will line up for later. If I can ever find Thessalonians, I'll be all right. I'll find it in a minute. It's right here next to Timothy. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. All right, go to verse 4. And just, you can read back and forth to see what it is. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience, and what? And faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now he's bragging about an outward sign. Right? These people have an outward sign of their patience and their faith, their persecutions, their tribulations that they're enduring. Now listen to it. Which is a manifest token, verse 5, of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now that one has a little better meaning, like this, 17:30. Is the number. Manifest token, or evidence, or proof. See, in the Old Testament, it only had one definition. It was a sign, signal, proof, token, omen, etc. Now you're picking up something that's dealing with you and me. Paul is saying that you, verse 4, so that yourselves glory in that we ourselves, excuse me, glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Then he tells them what that is, which is a manifest sign, right? A manifest token, a manifest sign, signal, proof, evidence, of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. So, all right, now what's it dealing with? See, with patience, we prove that whether we have the token or not. You see where we're tying it into the stature of a perfect man? Your patience and endurance and things. All right. See? Now, if you just flip-flap and going every which way and just acting and living like the devil and not having no faith and not having no patience and not having nothing, you're a sign of perdition. You have a token, Brother Gary, of a perdition, not of truth. But if your patience and endurance and things stays with you and keeps you, are the stature of a perfect man that keeps you through Christ. See, you have an outward sign. You have an outward token that others can see your life. See, so it's the same as the Old Testament, right? That we kept coming up to where apply the blood. We ended with talking about applying the blood. Now, and if we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, it'll bring the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ. So then the New Testament word shows an outward sign of faith. A token. That the world can see what you've got by how you live. Right? And we go out and live like the devil. What is the world supposed to think we are? Of the devil. That's sensible. But if they see you living the Christian life as good as you can, we're all humans. That's what we all lay on. Well, we're just all humans. You got problems and I got problems. I don't have any problems. I just got through praying and asked God to forgive me of everything I've done in my life. And He's got the problem. Well, Brother Dale, you think you're perfect? Jesus said I was. I'm trying to display an outward token. Now if I go out and live like the devil, you're going to know for certain who's in there. See, that's what it was happening back there. It come down from a token of a rainbow. Of a word being used as a sign or a signal. Down to a blood that could be applied. And that blood being applied. See? Would show that a life had went out. Alright? Now, if the Holy Ghost is the token, and that's what the prophet said it was, right? Then the Holy Ghost is a token in the believer to make manifest outwardly or display the life of the blood. See, it's not the blood anymore. Once you enter the New Testament, it's not the blood. It's the life of the blood. In the Old Testament, it was the life of the animal. The blood of the animal had to be applied. You don't have to go down now and make a great big X across your house with some kind of a blood because you don't have that blood. Because that blood dropped back on Calvary. So it's not the chemistry of the blood. See, even as I told you Sunday, you look at all of your songbooks. All of your songbooks written about the blood was John Wesley's day. Because John Wesley believed it was the chemistry of the blood you're saved by. That's what Brother Branham said. Now, you argue with him. He believed it was so strong about the blood, he believed in the chemistry. Now, I've never heard him say you had to go get some drops of blood and put it on chemistry. No, no, it was just so much on to the chemistry. Let me put it this way. John Wesley could not see no further than most people see today. All right? Because he could only get to the point of seeing the animal life was the life that was in the blood. Now listen. The life that was in the blood of the animal. And then the life that was in the blood of the man. That's as far as he could go. He couldn't see that we're not in the days of the blood. We're not in the days of the chemistry. We're in the days of the life. Come on Let's read the token messages, the four of them. I've asked you to do that. We'll get to it more probably next Wednesday. Where there's a blood, there's a life in the blood. And then there's a soul. But see, Wesley couldn't get any further than the chemistry, which meant the compound of the blood. See, he believed that we're saved by the blood. Now come on, now listen, are you with me? I didn't bring these quotes because I didn't intend to go this way. All right? The prophet said, you're not saved by the blood. You're kept saved by the blood. Because you're saved by grace through faith in the life of the blood, that the life of the blood can come back in you and live. Not the life of the blood of the chemistry. Come on, not the life of the blood of the chemistry. Even if you could take Jesus' blood, put it all over you, put it in your veins. What good would it do? It wouldn't save you. So that's why the prophet kept saying, and we ended up saying what? The token for this day is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? The token of this day is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? Look. Look at number 4 on your notes. There's of life, which is taken from the token, page 10, 63901. There's a life, a blood, a life, and a soul in the life. You understand what I'm saying? See, Wesley thought it was the chemistry or the life that was in the blood. That's why all the songs are is written in Wesley's day of the blood. That's why they're taking all of it out now. All right. But see, you're not saved by the blood, you're kept saved by the blood. But look what he's saying. Now there's a life, a blood, a life. In other words, there's a life and a blood. There's not a life and a blood and a life. And he's repeating back over himself, right? There's a life, a blood, a life. In other words, a blood, a life, and a soul in the life. The soul is the nature of the life. Therefore, it had no certain nature. Now watch what he's talking about. He ain't talking about the nature of man or the soul. You've got to read what he's saying. Therefore, it had no certain nature. It was an animal. He ain't talking about Jesus and the soul. He's talking about the animal. The animal don't have no nature. It's not that the soul don't have a nature, because the soul is the nature of the Spirit. Even if you're lost, it's the nature of the Spirit. So you got to read what he's saying. These people say what he says. You got to read by revelation. Or even how common sense would help some.
Amen.
See, therefore it had no certain life. It was an animal. Therefore, the blood stood for a token that the life had been given. But in this glorious place, under this covenant, now what do we talk about? A covenant, then a token of a covenant. There is a difference between the blood and the life. The token for the believer today is the Holy Ghost. Not a blood, a chemistry. It's not that. But it is the Holy Spirit of God. That is the token that God requires of the church today. God must see the token. He must see it in every one of us. You can say, I'm saved by the blood. Amen. It's all right if you know what you're talking about. But if you don't, you're like John Wesley with the chemistry. See, that's why he couldn't get it. Now, he called sanctification. I got his book. He called sanctification the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John Wesley did. Because that's what he thought it was. And it was for that day. But then he taught the chemistry is what you're saved by. In other words, the life in the blood. Instead of teaching the life that is in the blood speaks only that there's a soul, the animal life in the blood. Jesus' life in the blood could not save you. But the soul that was in the body could save you. Are you listening? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Message, Israel in Egypt, number 5. 53:325. Now here he comes, torn, riven, torn to pieces. His soul went to God, and God blessed him. And then his soul returned back in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes into every believer to sanctify, clean up the mind, clean up the heart, and leave a portion of the Holy Ghost in there, here and there. Now watch him, because he gives the Holy Ghost to every church age, right? So the token was in every church age, right? Listen. And when the Holy Ghost is given out, that same Holy Ghost that brought the body of Jesus out of the grave will rapture. And that covenant was to dovetail. Has to dovetail. As he tore there and gave the body, went back to God, and the spirit came back to the earth. Then your spirit will have to be the same kind of spirit, or it'll match that, or it'll match that place going together. Amen. Yes, sir. Not because you make yourself, but because the love of God has swept into your soul and torn every earthly thing idle out of it. So what did he say? The soul was sent back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The soul of God. Not just an anointing to anoint you. That would be on your spirit being. Because that's where the anointed ones are anointed, on their spirit being. Right. But the very soul of God to come back and live in the person. All right, listen. Perfection, 1957. Look kind of down at the bottom of it. Save time reading. You read all the other. Well, let's not do it. Let's read. Again, how do we get into that body? 1 Corinthians, and I read some of this the other day, so I don't mind rereading it. 12:13 says that by one Spirit, how does the Spirit come? Through the sacrifice. Where did the Spirit lay? Within the blood. Why couldn't the animal life come back? It was an animal. The animal spirit could not come to the human spirit and do anything to it, because the human spirit was a higher line of life than the animal, but no other man's spirit could come back. Now watch it. If you got the spirit of some ancestor, it's spiritualism. So now no other man's spirit, right? But God himself came that his own spirit, which is the highest line of spirit there is, can come back by the form of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the worshiper through the blood of Christ and take him into the body he saved. Simple language, isn't it? The next one is number 7. It really is dealing with one thing, that when the blood stood for a sign that the life of the chemistry of the Lamb had died. So if all you want to deal with is the life in the blood and don't know what a soul is, then you're only dealing with the chemistry as same as John Wesley did, and you don't know the message of the hour. But see, you ask most people, like I asked a person we did one time, asked a person what this certain brother believed on the soul, and she said, I don't know, I've been there about 6 years and I ain't never heard him explain it. Well, after 6 years, I think some word ought to be gotten around to. You know, at least somewhere. I don't have that many sermons left over that I have to preach things that I've already preached before to bring them out, you know. But are you following me? There's a life. There's a blood. There's a life. There's a life that runs in your blood, but that don't give you the new birth. The life that run in Jesus' blood don't give you a new birth. It keeps you saved. That's what the prophet said. You're kept saved by the blood. But you're saved by grace through faith, that the blood is applied to where that lamb, the lamb died, and when the lamb died, the life can come back upon you, because this lamb is the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world, and was not a man, as they're teaching now, but God in the form of a man. Because he said, if it's another man, Then you're believing in ancestor worship, which is spiritualism.
Amen.
But you can say all you want to, it ain't going to change nobody. I'm not trying to change nobody nor send out messages, quotes out to convert the world. But if there's anybody out there listening, they'll hear it. Amen. And they'll realize, hey, wait just a minute. Somebody ain't bringing it just right. Because if they've got the Holy Ghost will lead you to the Word every time.
Right.
If it don't lead you to the Word, it ain't the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's sensible. I don't need explaining, does it?
Right.
But now listen. Here is a great statement. I'll get just a word on it. A great statement among the people of the message. They say the token never come into existence till the evening time. I've been in ministers' meetings where that topic was dealt with. I've been and sat in a church where a man preached that away and had to leave him. Because he preached you just got an anointing of a spirit. That you don't have the new birth. You'll get the new birth when the headstone comes. That's what's been taught. And see, they use quotes like that. That the token never come into existence till the evening time. I got up then and read some of what I just was going to read right here. Where Brother Brown said the token came on the day of Pentecost. Well, you think that changed them? Not a one of them has changed. I don't make that sarcastically or anything. I just tell it as the truth. You show me one it has. I'll meet you after service and explain to you who I'm talking about, and you show me whether they've changed or not. No. Because you see, they ain't going to believe what Brother Brown said. They're going to believe what they want to believe what Brother Brown said. Oh, the token never come into existence till evening time. We'll get over here in just a second. But what I want to read is some quotes here where Brother Brown said the token come on the day of Pentecost. Each church age had the token, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, because it's a new birth. All right, let's read these now. Token, 1963, 901, which is Jeffersonville, page 21, which is number 8 on your notes. The blood was a token. Now the Spirit is a token. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when the blood was shed, the token was sent down on the day of Pentecost like a rushing mighty wind. That was the theme of every apostle. That was, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is a token, amen, that you pass from death unto life. Now, he said it come on the day of Pentecost. Message called Pardon, 1963, 1028. Preaching Tucson. If the blood is applied, the token. See, there is a token given of the blood, and that's the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, you know what it did to the people. And every time that it ever will come upon the people, it'll do the same thing. Peter said, for the promise is unto you and to your children, them that are far off. And he goes on down and explains. And then he says that, and if this is the Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost, it's the same Holy Spirit today. All right. Where'd the token fall? Token, 1963, Shreveport, 1128, Shreveport, Louisiana. And when you have eternal life, you receive a token showing that the price has been paid. It isn't the blood. It's the token of the blood. It's the life itself. Amen. Full obedience to the Word of God, to God's entire Word, will entitle you to this token. How do you do it? Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent everyone of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the token, for the promises unto you and to your children, to them that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. All right. Now what happened on the day of Pentecost? Paragraph 39 of the Dallas token, 1964, 308. Go down to the last paragraph, and then when that life was taken, the blood, the chemistry of it, poured out upon the ground. The chemistry went on the ground. See, all right. Just like Abel's, talking about his blood, poured out upon the ground. But from that blood came the Holy Spirit of God, and that was sent to man on the day of Pentecost to be identified with the sacrifice that died for them. There's no other way in the world we can get it. a positive token. All right? Now, have you heard enough to believe that the token came on the day of Pentecost? All right? Now, you go on over to the token back in page 19, on number 12 of your notes, and says, Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. But when I see the token, I'll pass over you." It's God's requirement of the hour. The evening time message is to apply the token. It's to apply the token. Now listen, before we get down here to the others where it said it didn't come into existence, he said the evening time message is to apply the token. Now you go through all four of those messages and see what he's talking about applying the token. Apply it to your home, get rid of this, get rid of that, clean out this, throw out that. Apply the token. Apply it to your family, he said. Apply it to those that are lost and watch them come in. If you've got it to apply. But if you don't have it, you can't apply it. Right? See, Brother Branham then said, if you can't have faith for your children, he said, I doubt you having faith for yourself. Is that a quote? But if you don't have the token, you can't apply the token to your home. Oh, you can kick out this, you can kick out that, you can wash that, cleanse that, keep your kids from doing that, forbid them to doing this, and stop them from doing it. You can do every bit of that. But is that applying the token? No, that's cleaning out the house, which is good, wonderful, commendable. But how many people does it save? Now, come on, folks. You know yourself where most of the children of this message go. When they're old enough to get out, they get out. Right? Is that true? When they get old enough to realize and they can make a living on their own, they get out. Why? Because they don't see mom and daddy living the token. And if mama don't and daddy don't have the token to apply, what are you living? But if you got the token, read those messages and see how much the prophet said on there. I wrote on my notes here, speak on this a whole lot. I'll probably repeat it again next Wednesday. Applying the token. Because Moses, as I said a while ago, Moses never, he didn't say, now go out. And he, you know, they'd offered the lamb, they'd done all these things. And then he turned around and said, now you go get something else over here and put the blood over. No, it was a lamb that they had already sacrificed. He come to tell them what to do with that lamb. He come to tell what to do with the blood of the lamb. They knew what to do with the lamb. They knew to sacrifice it. They knew to burn it, cook it, eat it. They knew to become one with it that way. But they didn't know what the blood, how it would do. So he said, apply it. But if you don't have it, you can't apply it. So maybe the reason some people's kids are not coming in, maybe they don't have it to apply it. I know that gets down to where you live, don't it? Right? I wish I could make it a whole lot stronger, because you're going to be upset with me anyway for making it that way. So why not just make it stronger? You know. But you know yourself, and I'm not doing that. I'm trying to tell you the truth. You shall know the truth and it'll save you. It's not that you'll know lies and they'll save you. Well, brother so-and-so said he done it this way. Okay, what's his children do? I know you don't like this, especially out there, but some of you here don't like it. My three kids are sitting here tonight. Where's yours at? You don't like that. But I can't help it. I didn't say that sarcastically. I told it as the truth. I know you don't like it. But is it true? Have you applied the token to your family? Well, then have you lived before them? The token. Okay. See, that's what I wrote down there. Speak on this a whole lot. Because that's what we need. You say, well, now like I've always said, maybe your kids don't want what you got. Maybe they see the way you live and they think, well, I don't want that. I like what Brother McGarity told Sister McGarity years ago. She was talking to him about the Lord and getting saved. He said, if what you got is salvation, I don't want it. Now, she was a good church member, wasn't she? She went to church. Come on. I think she was a good sister. I always thought the world of her. Still do. I mean, but yet he said, if that's what salvation is, I don't want it. Good point, isn't it? Maybe we should go back and check up on things. I know I get in trouble, but I stay in trouble. So all right. Have you ever apologized to your kids for the way you raised them? No, I raised them by the gospel, bless God. So you're not going to do it. I tried my best to raise mine by the gospel, and I've apologized to them many times. Why? Because maybe I didn't have lived the token. Maybe I just tried to apply. You see? I know. That goes in out and it makes you hurt me. But you'll find out one of these days when we get on that other side, you'll find out something. And I'll tie it right back in a hurry. Said I wasn't going to say no more, but it ties back to what I said I wasn't going to say no more about. And how God had to move somewhere else to bring forth the words that I spoke. That ought to make every one of you ashamed of yourself. But it won't. It won't change one of you. You see where I go home crying then, and you think I'm hateful. All right, let's get on to the message. The big statements among the people of the message that the token never come into existence till the evening time. Let's read what the prophet had to say about that. Let's just read and see what he was talking about. Look at number 15 on your notes, which is a token in Jeffersonville, 1963, 901. The lamb was killed in the evening time. Somebody hit a button somewhere. The lamb was killed in the evening time. After being kept up for 14 days. And the lamb was killed and the blood was applied in the evening time. Now where's he talking about? Number 15 on your notes. You get it? Now what's he talking about? He's talking about Israel, right? Does that need interpreting? What's he talking about? The lamb was killed in the evening time after being kept up for 14 days. And then the lamb was killed and the blood was applied in the evening time. You get it? The token never come into existence until the evening time. See, now people read that right there and say the baptism of the Holy Ghost never come into existence until the evening time. Now that is not what he said. You read it. Show it to him in the book. Show it to him in the message. But that's been quoted all around the land, and that's what keeps people at a point of trying to wait till something comes, or to some way, or some doings, or the Holy Ghost ain't been here, like the man preached years ago that you don't have the Holy Ghost, you just got an anointing. What's the rest of them preaching? Brother Dale, I've read to you, the token never come into existence till the evening time. What is he talking about? He's talking about Israel in the evening time. Now when we get to it and talking about the headstone, then you'll see the headstone never come into existence till the evening time. All right. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the chemistry of the blood. The token with Israel never came into existence until the lamb had been kept up 14 days and was sacrificed and ate the lamb as the Passover, and then it become a token. See, Moses was not telling them something different. He was telling them, you have offered the sacrifice. You've made this sacrifice. You've done what was right. But said, now take the blood and apply it. Because it's a token unto you. Do you understand? The token never come into existence until the evening time. Now watch it. And this is the evening time of the age that we live in. Well, amen. Now I'm just plain as I can be. Sure ain't much in education. And everybody knows that. I'd hate to have the job of trying to put into words what the prophet has said, and especially to punctuate that. Now, if I was going to punctuate that, you know, make it paragraphs, sentence, etc., I'd move the token never come into existence until the evening time in the paragraph above. And that paragraph would read this way. The lamb was killed in the evening time after being kept up for 14 days. Then the lamb was killed and the blood was applied in the evening time. You get it? The token never come into existence till the evening time. Stop. Make another paragraph. What? Because now he changes his thought. He was talking about what was back there. And this is the evening time of the age that we live in. This is the evening time for the church. This is the evening time for me. This is the evening time of my message. I'm dying. I'm going. I'm moving out in the evening time of the gospel. Right. Now let's read the next one right down below there, and I'll tell you there's another thought that people make. They say the token is the message of the hour. Now let's read and see if Brother Brown said that. This is from the token, which is page 37, the same message, 901, 63901 in Jeffersonville. He won't recognize nothing but that covenant of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And you cannot receive that covenant unless you are saved, sanctified, and then baptized into the body. He will not. You might have an impersonation, you might feel good, and jump up and down and speak in tongues and dance in the Spirit. That don't have one thing to do with it. Hear it in the name of the Lord. God don't recognize that. Heathens do that. Witches do that. You say, I'm a scholar. I do this, that, or the other. He don't care how much scholar you are. The devil is too. See, he only recognizes the token. Listen, that's the message of the hour. And everybody wants, the message of the hour is a token. That's not what he said. He says, saying that he only recognizes the token. That's the message of the hour. What? That he only recognizes the token. See, self-interpretation upon Scripture, look what you got. Watch him. That's the message of this day. That's the message of this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive it. What? That the Holy Ghost, he only recognizes the Holy Ghost, the token. The message is telling us he only recognizes the token. Now come on, I'm going to get back to it later. See? I'm typing down to a point. Moses was told what to do with the blood. Brother Branham is told what to do with the token. And how it can become the message. But those quotes are people using them wrong. You want proof of it? Let's just take one. Where's it at? I'll take one more and then I'll quit. 14. Where are we at? Number 14 on your notes. Look at number 14 on your notes. Token. Shreveport, 1963, 1128. Now listen to the order. Israel coming out. Just as a sign like it is today. Watch what Israel got in their Exodus. The first thing they got to thoroughly identify the hour was at hand was a prophet with a message. Now, isn't that where we're at? Listen. Moses came down with a message. Listen. The Word of God was with Moses. The next thing, number two, Moses had to be identified. And he was identified by a pillar of fire. That identified his work that God had sent him. And Moses had the Word of God even to create things and to bring them upon the earth. Now look at number three. And the token that God gave them by the blood was identification, or the assurance rather, that they would be passed over in the time of death. If that's not enough to prove a point, you're in bad shape. The message comes before the token comes into existence. The covenant was made with Moses before the token was to be applied. The covenant was made with Abraham before the token of the circumcision was done in his flesh. The message come to Noah, covenant, before that the rainbow was given. So you first got a prophet with a message. Then that prophet is to be identified or proven by signs and wonders. And then he speaks of a token. I don't have enough time tonight. I'd have to take too much to be proven to you to get the point I want you to get. So we'll just stop right there. The message of the hour is to apply the token. You can't say just, the message is the token. Now when you're finished with it, if you know what you're talking about, you can make statements. But until then, you better be careful what you're saying, because you're misquoting the prophet. Now, Brother Dean, is this right? You can't misinterpret, mislocate, and mistranslate, or have what the word is there. You can't do it. Because if you do, you mess up. Right? See? So get it in the order. Study it like I'm talking about. Prophet with a message. Vindication to prove he's right. And then he brings a token. Don't worry about it. I'm not through. There is a token in the evening time. But we got to approach it the correct way. Not approach it with misconstrued quotes. Because when he said the token didn't come into existence till the evening time, we just read to you and proved to you. He's talking about Israel in the 14 days. They say, but the message of the hour is a token. He said the message of the hour is to tell you the token has to be recognized. He said the message of the hour, the token of this day is what? The message of proof. Right. We believe it. But you see, just saying what you want to. It doesn't matter. People don't read anyway. That's what makes me feel so bad. I'm sorry. Go on, Brother Boyd. It makes me feel so bad about these brothers overseas that don't have the books and the tapes we have. They don't. And I told Brother Nestor there the other day, I said, Brother Nestor, I said, I'm sorry to say this, but I said, all of these ministers in America thinks you need to go to the foreign fields and convert the heathen. I said, they look at y'all as heathen that don't know nothing. And I said, in what little traveling I've done, I found people overseas that knowed more about the message and was living it better than the people here that was claiming that. But I said, they look down at you like that you don't have nothing. Oh, we're the great ones in America. We got the message. We need to go over there. I told you about that brother, the reason I went to done the Oneness Convention. Because there was two men went over there and made a bad taste of this message in those people's minds. But I prayed to God when I left that they didn't have that thought. I told that brother, I said, listen, I said, there's a little brother down in Jamaica called Keith Reed. I said, I believe Brother Keith Reed is as good a preacher or better than anything in America, hardly. It's revelation I'm talking about, to preach by. Well, I said, but people think y'all are just a bunch of ignoramuses that don't know nothing about the message. But I said, what little bit you know, you believe. But what I cry about, and reason I'm so tickled about this machine that they've took over there in the hub and the thing, where they can print out those tapes of those early books and things that they had no hopes whatsoever of getting them. And see, you think I'm hateful, I know that. But those people don't know. And somebody goes over and preaches something, or they get a tape from America by somebody, and they just quote it. I sat and listening to a man one day and just broke down. He said, those people in the foreign countries said they quote, like we quote Peter, Paul, James, John, said they quote the preachers of this message. And they're the ones that are taking the false doctrines to them. God winks at those people's ignorance. You're not responsible until the truth has been presented into your life. But I prayed years ago. I wanted to turn this church over to anybody, and I wanted to go and stay on the field all of my life and try to bring this message of the truth. See, I've lost that desire because I know the people don't want it. I preach more in the foreign countries than I preach here in America. It's not throwing off. I don't blame them for not wanting to hear. But you see, I've tried. And I was praying. I said, Lord, you know my desire. That I don't want no name. I've always told you, right? How many of you remember this statement? I said, put anybody's name on my tape and send it to the world. God gets the glory. I don't want it. And I was praying. I said, God, I'm sorry. And I couldn't do it. They won't hear me. And this is what he said. He said, you've done it in your own way. And I had to think a while. But then he showed me that's what we've done with the internet. That we sent a message to the world. The truth of the message. That we've sent it to the world. He said, you've done it in your own way. We get out of here, there's not going to be any big eyes and little U's. And if that's in us here, we're not going there. All I want to do is see the message live. All I want to do is to see God living in you. If I'm an intellect from doing that, what's the others? All I do is try to preach the gospel. Yeah, but Brother Dale, you're just so deep. There is no deep in God. The prophet said the most illiterate person, Christ the mystery of God revealed, the most illiterate person could be saved. Now, what can you think about the most illiterate person? But he said they could be saved. That's how simple God can make it. Let's stand. Think on these things. The token is to be applied in the evening time. Go ahead. 34 in the spiral book,
when I see the blood.
34. The spiral book. Died on the cross. Died for the sinner. Paid all his dues. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb. And I will pass over you. When I see the blood, anybody have a need? Then I see the blood. I will pass over you. Chief is the sinner. Jesus will say all he has promised. That will he do. What? Just believe it. What have I told you? When you're sitting there listening and God quickens something to you, how many times have you heard me make this statement? You're sitting there listening and God quickens something to you and makes it real. Just raise your hand right there and say, God, my family, my children, my husband, my wife, just right there. Just why? Because you've entered us an atmosphere that can give what is needed. And I will pray. Lisa. Father, Terrence is asking for a prayer cloth for Zachary because he's playing sports and things and he can get hurt easily. So you just take care of him. Place the blood over him to where everything will be all right. And Father, just reach down and touch Lisa up on her feet. Let all of this clear up because we believe you. In Jesus' name. Believe it and see. Under the blood, and I will pass over. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, Father, our brother's neck is beginning to bother him. We condemn that hurt in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We condemn it, and we believe you that all is well, and Jesus is your name. Anybody else? It's over you. Oh, great compassion. Oh, boundless love. Give you a prayer cloth. Do you think the person would receive one?
Huh?
Do you think the person you're praying for would receive a prayer cloth also? Okay. One for that and one for your home. Father, we send these prayer cloths, one for this one that needs salvation. And you just reach down, Lord, and we apply the token. We send these prayer cloths as an example of the Holy Ghost that's within us to believe your word. We look forward to seeing an example, Lord, made manifest. And our sister's putting her home up on the market to be sold. We pray that all will work according to your will. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? When I see the blood, what about it? When I... Blood. Brother Brown said it like this. Said, there Moses was, 2.5 million people. Said, what kind of a doctor's kit did he have? Huh?
That's right.
He said, we could just look down in there tonight and find that doctor's kit, that their clothes growed with them, they had no problem. He said, what was it? I am the Lord that healeth all of thy diseases. In Jesus' name. See the blood, I will pass. Anybody? everybody else is just having need. Do you believe? See, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Brother Dale, I didn't know there was much in that token. We're not through yet. We still got a long ways to go on the token. I told you about, what, 2 or 3 months ago, the Lord started dealing with me something about the token. He showed me why the prophet was saying certain ways and certain things. But it was misconstrued by most people, and they didn't understand. So now, maybe we'll understand. Everybody hear that? You understand? Little Mark came up the other day for a prayer cloth. It was because they rode motorcycles together with his little buddy Trey, and he seen he had a prayer cloth in his helmet. Little Mark did, and he told Trey, he said, "No, I'll get you one." So he came up the other day to get a little prayer cloth. Now that's a little buddy that can believe. You know, you say, "Well, these children don't believe." Yes, they do. And God will hear that. God will hear that. Brother Tom. Go ahead. Take care of it, brother. Exactly. Exactly.
We need to understand that the gifts that God has given this church, which is all I want, is the ministry. See, God speaks, the token speaks, and if we receive, then we obey.
Exactly. Believe him, don't you? Amen. Anybody else?
Danny?
Yeah. Anybody else? You know, when we left going to Oklahoma, all the way out there, they kept talking about the brown van making a screaming sound, and especially when you're gassing and things. And I said, Lord, just get us there and back, you know. And Peggy, she talked about it. You know how bad our hearing is. I couldn't hear it, but they could hear it. It was screaming, and, you know, every time we'd mash on the gas, it seemed like it. We started to leave out there, and there's a brother's mechanic. He walked out there, and he said, your transmission's going out. He said, the bands are slipping. He said, it's going out. I said, Lord, we got 900 miles to get home, you know. So let's just get home. I mean, I've never been one to say, God, you just take away everything. I just say, let's get home, you know. And so we got home, and I decided, well, I need to take that thing and have it checked. I carried it up to my niece's husband, a mechanic. I told him what the man said. He said the transmission was going out. And he said, that is your transmission. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's either your alternator or said it's those pulleys and the balance mechanism. And I said, I mean, it was making a pretty good racket, you know. But I said, okay, check it over. Let me know. Went back up there to get it. I said, well, meanwhile, while you're at it, go ahead and drain the transmission and change the fluid, and that way you can kind of look. And because Brother Donnie could tell you, I'm not a mechanic, but if there's a lot of trash in the bottom of the pan, you can pretty well you know, tell something's going wrong with your vans and things because they'll burn. And I said, go ahead while you're at it. Went back. He said, ain't nothing wrong with your transmission. He said, as much as I could see. He said, had a little metal flakings like normal around his plug. I said, that's normal. I said, well, what was it? He said, it was the idler pulling the arm it's running on.
Right.
He said, that's both bad. I said, well, okay, thank you.
Right.
Had it fixed. You know. See, that could have went out on us anywhere coming back.
Right.
And you got a problem when those things happen because you're going to be days getting somebody around to fix it. And I'm just telling you about the Lord. He's mindful of us. He knows our needs and our doing, like Brother Donnie's talking about. I mean, he knows how to drive a car. He knows how to take care of things. And I thank God for that. Amen. Anybody else before we go? Anybody? Remember the services this weekend? Remember Brother Quinn? Pray that the Lord would bless him and help us this weekend because that's what we look forward to. You know, and then I don't know of any. The only one that we have announced now for it would be the 28th, 27th, 23rd. We leave out going to Rutherford meeting, and Brother Claude will be with us. They'll be with us on Wednesday, but I've called him yesterday, and he's going to preach the weekend instead of the Wednesday because we don't have anybody scheduled as of now. So I'll go ahead and get him scheduled before I get up there. Because when I get up there, I know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Someone's going to come up from overseas and want to come, and that's all right. We try to help all we can. And, you know, God has been good to us and give us good ministers to preach, you know, and everything to help us. And I appreciate it. Amen? I appreciate it. Father, we love you and we thank you. We could talk to you and about you all night. Just forgive us, Lord, for ourselves and our human things. And help us to walk in you. Bless everybody. Give everybody a safe journey home. Let all the things, Lord, be well. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard tonight, because we believe. We pray that you bless and guide each one now in Jesus' name.